The Scope is filmed before a live studio audience.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. It's the only show that melts in your mouth. I'm your announcer, Tony Partington. Coming up on this edition of The Scope...
The Scope teaches you the best way to prepare a holiday goose. We take a look at the collected works of Milli Vanilli, and Al finishes knitting a blanket to keep his fantasy baseball stats warm.
And now, here are your hosts, John, Earl, and Al.
Year 2 begins in 3, 2, 1.
Previously on The Scope.
You got to pull the light. No, let's see. I haven't been able to smell
since birth.
Or do you just lay it out on the line every episode you're
I
here?
Lay it on the line. I drop the pants and I lay it out and I say, here's the hang down, get with it or get off, you know? Cooter. Let's see. Cooter.
Keep saying Cooter.
Cooter.
Let's talk about our Scope score rating system. The Scope score rating system is a 4-star system. Or rating system, just to let you know about that. That's how it's happening. Can I add any more sentences before I go to Earl?
If you're gonna get Peter Cullen, you get the other half, man. If you're gonna buy salt, you buy pepper. That's how it works.
Actually, when I run out of salt, I just get more salt.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. It's the only show that can get that spot out of the carpet. I'm your announcer, Tony Partington. Coming up on this edition of The Scope...
We take a look back at the first year of The Scope. We find out if we go together like traffic and weather. And Jared has no time to write a witty joke for this spot.
And now, here are your hosts, Jared, Adam, and Shane.
We are back. Year 1 is behind us. Year 2 is in front of us. This is The Scope, episode 27. Very exciting. For those of you that didn't catch on, our last episode was actually an April Fool's prank. So I want to put a little shout out there to Earl, Al, and John. Thank you very much for all of your hard work. They did a great job filling in for us. We call them the B Team, and if we ever need them, we will break the glass, pull them out, and prop them in front of the microphones for some good times and good adventure. Yes, my...
He's on a little rusty, like you've had a few weeks off.
It's been like a month and a half, hasn't it? Anyway, we have a full studio in the house. We have Adam. Hello, Adam.
Hey.
A full studio in the house. I'm starting to sound like Al now. We have a full studio full of our regular hosts.
Exactly.
Jared is
here. Sexy and hot?
Jared is here as well.
Of course.
And I am here. And we've got a special, special guest. He doesn't come in very often because he's far too good for this program. It would be Tony, the fabulous announcer who helps shape and mold our program. Tony, thank you for coming in.
My pleasure.
And I thought it would be only fitting that since this is a beginning of year two, we have 1 year behind us, as I said, that everybody from the original crew be here to talk about how great the show is.
Indeed, yes.
All right.
There we go. So let's talk about this one-year anniversary business we've got going on. We've got a big show planned for the rest of the proceedings. We're going to be going back and talking a little bit about what we've accomplished, some of the great bits, the behind-the-scenes information. But that is not the only thing, the only surprise we have in store for you, our very, very fantastic listeners that have supported us through the entire year. Jared has been hard at work, like the superstar that he is, recreating the scopeshow.com website, and we are very, very excited about it. It's a complete redesign. It's very interactive. It's very exciting, and a lot of new features going on. Jared, is there anything specifically that you want to talk about for thescopeshow.com? What's the thing that's most exciting to you that is coming up or is going to be found on this website?
It's more black.
That's it.
Like Pepsi.
I don't
black.
Know.
None more black than this website.
Well, there's a petting zoo, but other than that, there's not much going on.
For anyone that logs into the site,
yeah.
We'll give them keys to your house, and they can come in and hang out anytime they want and listen to the show.
Yeah.
When we record.
Yeah.
Actually, I've got a list of all the great features that are coming up.
Thank you, because I wasn't prepared for
no,
this bit.
I just wanted to see what you do. Tony, this is going to be of interest to you. You know, our very fantastic and important segment we have on the show.
Informative.
That's the word.
And helpful.
Ask Tony.
Yes.
We are making it much easier for our listeners to send us questions or send you questions so you can give some great answers. What else we have going on here? We have new bios. We'll finally have some pictures of what we look like on the website.
Oh, dear.
Oh, yes.
We are going to make it
magical.
We're going to make it easier for all of our listeners to get in contact with us, to send us emails, to...
We all have those red flashing phones with a little light on them, so all you do is pick up your phone and it yeah. blinks and one of us picks up.
Is that necessarily wise?
Yeah, well, it isn't, but...
we love our fans.
Jared's made it so the only person's telephone number that will be up there will be Adam, so yep. anyone can call Adam at any time.
He's not supposed to know.
So, Adam, that's coming
that's,
up on
that's
Monday.
Why you're really asking me for my mm-hmm. number yesterday, not because you finally have a cell phone.
Yes, that's the other big news we'll get to a little bit later. I am jumping into the year 1999 with a cell phone.
99?
Yep.
Wow.
Well, that's when everybody else had a cell phone. It took me to 2007 to get one.
Old school.
I think the key for year two for the scope is this. We want our listeners to be as proud and as a part of the show as we are. So we are going to go to the ends of the earth to make sure that everybody talks to us as much as we talk to them. It's going to be my goal every episode to create some sort of new way for the listeners to get involved with us, whether it's encouraging more comments or sending voicemails into our it's not a 1-800 number, it's actually a pay number, but we'll get to that later.
Everyone, now that you have one, everyone has cell phones, and so that's free long
yeah,
distance.
Yeah, free long distance.
It's yeah, it's not really a pay number. It's just it's in Seattle, I believe. So long distance charges may apply, but you know everyone has a cell phone with long distance now, so just use that.
Absolutely. And the other thing I want to mention is that for all of you hipsters out there that go to MySpace, Jared has also completely redesigned the Scope MySpace page. That will be up and running.
Can we get a Facebook page at some point?
Jared, Facebook?
Sure, I guess.
You can't really.
No.
Think.
No, that's
well,
a bummer.
The Scope's not a person. So.
Yeah, they kind of just want people there, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to be updated as soon as this show
and
is
as you know,
online
we're robots.
As well. So please, everyone, if you do one thing in the upcoming year for Scope Season 2...
Then give to charity.
Give to charity, and if you do two things, contact us regularly. Tell us how good or bad of a job we're doing, because I think that's very important, and I think it makes for a better show.
And we will be starting our own charity soon, so that works.
It was the charity that
well, there
they
you go.
Contribute to.
It's everyone gets a PlayStation 3 charity for the Scope, and you can...
I think it's a worthy cause.
I think it is, absolutely.
I mean, we can do a telethon and stuff.
$1,800 is all it's going to take. We're not asking for millions.
It worked for
Jerry
Imus,
Lewis
right?
may be available.
Yeah. That's true.
Slightly bloated, but available nonetheless.
By the way, that reminds me of a kind of an off-color joke I made at Easter. My mother's husband, his name is Jerry, and there was a question posed like, what are Jerry's kids doing? And I responded, they're suffering from muscular dystrophy. Thank you.
Man, are we going to have to get Earl back in here? We're sinking fast for year two.
I thought it was a good joke.
I liked it.
It was quick-witted. I guess you had to be there.
Yep. You know, Jared, the one thing I forgot to say...
Thanks for including him.
The one thing I forgot, and Tony as well, I forgot to say is that, you know, the Scope really has been gaining a lot of momentum lately, and people are very excited that we've made it 1 year, and we've actually had some celebrities contact us to wish us good luck and congratulations for the... All the hard work we did.
Yeah, wonderful. We've had a few.
So, Jared, if you could load up the computer box and spit out some celebrity voices.
Hello, this is Michael Bay, Hollywood super director and producer of such great films as Pearl Harbor, Bad Boys 2, and Armageddon. I just want to take a second to both congratulate the Scope for one fantastic year and thank them for their unflinching support of my latest project, the Transformers. I feel this will be the biggest and best version of giant robots yet. And because of the Scope, even more people will be ready for it on July 4th, 2007. Keep up the great work, guys. I can't wait for more episodes of The Scope.
What do you think of that, Tony? Famous people contacting us left and right.
I'm so humbled.
Well, he's humble. Well, Jared, why don't we get one more up?
Okay, yeah, I got one more for you.
Hello, Scope faithful. I'm Jack Nicholson. When I'm not making critically acclaimed movie after critically acclaimed movie, I spend my free time beating hookers and listening to the Scope. Jared, Adam, Shane, Keep on bringing the joy to the world, fellas. I can't wait to listen to what you have planned next. Here's to another great year.
Do you think he does that at the same time? Listen to the scope while beating hookers?
Probably.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, I would think so.
He's got his earbuds in.
And the one thing we're learning, and I think Tony can back this up, is that Hollywood types, yes, whenever they record their voice on radio, they all tend to sound similar.
There is a similarity. Well,
it's all Hollywood magic.
It's, there's like vocal processing and stuff, and most studios all have the same stuff. So, you know, it kind of comes out sounding homogenized.
Well, speaking of homogenized, could you play just one more? Because, you know, we have so many celebrities trying to get in contact with us.
I think I can dig up one more.
Okay.
This is Brad Pitt, one of the sexiest babysitters alive. I want to congratulate Jared, Adam, and Shane on their fantastic success with The Scope in the past year. I'd also like to take a moment to wish them even greater success in the upcoming year. Way to go, guys.
I see Brad Pitt taking time to think of.
Brad Pitt's slightly raspier than I thought. You know,
well, that's because of all the adopted children he's forced to raise now. Takes a toll on a man.
It really does.
That he doesn't sleep.
That Angelina Jolie.
What?
It's really tough. You know, so I was talking about our fans getting in touch with us on a regular basis.
Yeah.
And one of the key inventions, and this is something that's never been done before, Tony, it's called a poll.
Oh.
I know, it's brand new. We're going to break it out. We're going to spring it on the world.
P-O-L-E?
Well, we'll see. Well, it depends how you read it, I guess. We have a brand new bit called the Scope Poll. Tony, if you will.
It's democracy in action. Choose your favorite in the latest installment of the Scope Poll.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to do an episode poll for every show. We're going to pose a simple question with multiple choice answers, and we want you to call in or email in and vote for your favorite, and we will read the results on the next show. So this week's poll, very fitting considering what just happened. Which set of hosts do you like better for The Scope? Your choices are Earl, John, and Al, or the originals, Jared, Adam, and Shane. And you can get your vote in by emailing comments@thescopeshow.com or by calling our voicemail number at 206-350-7056. Long-distance charges may apply.
Thank you. And so far, I think that the originals are probably slightly behind in the polling.
You think so?
Yeah, after how I'm running the show so far. So, very terrible.
But we have a whole catalog of work for them to judge us on.
And that's I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing, Jared. But
did you hear show 22? That's not good.
Did you hear show 3?
Well, speaking of Earl, you know, we don't just want to talk about pimping ourselves. We do want to talk about things that are going on in the universe that is The Scope. And as you have noticed over the past few episodes, Earl, our friend, hates the Transformers movie, and he will do everything in his power to bring it down. So we thought it would be quite fitting to maybe feature some of his anger or feature some stories that might enrage him when dealing with this new Transformers movie. And in doing so, we've created a new bit called the Scopes More Than Meets the Eye Movie Madness Moment.
He loves the Transformers, and he won't stand for anyone messing with those iconic characters. Let's find out how Michael Bay and Steven Spielberg's cinematic adaptation of those lovable robots are angering our friend Earl in The Scope's More Than Meets the Eye Movie Madness Moment.
I don't know how you get your voice to sound like a robot at the end there, Tony, but... just absolutely perfect for this segment.
I have a question.
Please.
Why don't we just quit the show and let Earl do...
I know, it's become like the Earl show.
Yeah, I know, it's crazy. Well, there will be only a little bit more Earl after this segment.
After July 4th, it won't matter.
Yeah, okay, we'll just...
we'll put him on moratorium like a Disney movie.
Yeah, we'll mothball Earl and actually talk about ourselves. If you remember in the last episode when the B-Team took over, Earl broke some news that the voice of Megatron would be not... supplied by the original cartoon voice.
I believe he said there would be no Pepper in this film.
No Pepper. That was the Pepper Salt concept. Who is that? Is that Frank Welker the cartoon voice?
I believe so.
And instead, it would be supplied by Matrix superstar Hugo...
Weaving.
And
way to prep, Jane. Way to prep.
Well, hey, you know, I leave it to you guys. You're the super nerds. So
I guess so.
There's going to be a video game version of the Transformers, and they decide they're going to go get a voice talent for the video game as well. They certainly are following in the steps of the movie by getting the original voice of Optimus Prime. That would be Peter Cullen.
For the game, too?
For the game.
Okay.
But instead of getting Hugo for the voice of Megatron, they got the original voice of the cartoon. And so try to put that one together, Adam.
One's a movie, one's a video game.
Yeah. So in the game, in the game they have Megatron, the actual voice, mm-hmm. and in the movie they don't.
Yeah, so
that seems really silly. It's ridiculous.
So I'm hoping that Earl will voicemail in his anger on this one if he actually listens to the show, because he doesn't normally.
He may take some prompting.
I assume the game's based on the movie.
The game is based on the movie, so it's a very incestuous.
I wonder what Hugo Weaving's voice will sound, because I mean, remember Megatron's voice is all scratchy and stuff. Like,
yeah.
Is he going to sound like Hugo Weaving, or is he going to sound like Megatron? Like, maybe they wind up sounding almost the same. It's not absurd because you get to use Hugo Weaving in the credits.
Oh, I suppose
the
it's
Matrix
a draw.
Is Hugo Weaving.
Well,
you got me there.
I think that we'll have
Hugo, yes. Hugo Heaving.
Hugo Weaving.
Weaving. Yeah.
Jared, please play another one of our celebrity shout outs.
Hugo Heaving.
Because I think this bit is dying quickly. So.
Porn, porn star
yeah.
name. I got this one here.
Hey, everybody, this is Wolfgang Puck, master chef and creator of some of the most finest cuisines in the world. While I've had so many famous people in my restaurant, Spago, I've yet to have the honor of serving the tremendously talented trio from the Scope. Probably because they've been so busy in the past year entertaining America. Congratulations, Internet Wonders. You bring joy to the world. And if you're ever in L.A., stop by for a great meal on the house.
I'm glad that Hugo Weaving doing a Wolfgang Puck impression?
It was.
I'm glad to see you guys have opened up your minds and allowed drugs into yours. And excellent choice.
One other Transformers bit. Pepsi will be the official soft drink sponsor of the Transformers. And they've
it
just
worked so well for the prequel
yes.
Star Wars movies.
And they're actually going to have a special edition Mountain Dew bottle, Tony, that looks very robotic. I don't know. And it's like, it's got angles, and maybe it'll turn into a bottle of Coke. I don't know what it'll do, but that's
the bottle. You drink it and you throw it out and recycle it if you're responsible.
But it's a Transformers bottle.
It's not going to make me buy more Mountain Dew.
It will me.
Well, then, Tony. Obviously they've done their market research.
Absolutely.
We must get Tony Partington on board. He's not drinking enough Dew. How can we convince him?
If Tony's on board, the rest will fall like simple dominoes.
Robot bottles will get him.
Crash.
He'll do the Dew. Before you know it, he'll be on a snowboard in summer.
Swinging into a lake.
And ending up on Scarred, honey.
Yep, exactly. Oh, boy. Well, we've got a lot of show, and I think we need to get to it.
Yeah.
And the man that's going to take us there and tell us what that show is going to be is going to be Mr. Tony Partington. So please, Tony, if you would, tell us what's coming up on the rest of the program.
Well, we look back at the year that was, the Scope 1.0, complete with memories, clips, and maybe some trivia.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Probably not.
Never before...
Will there be robotic bottles?
There probably will be.
Never before mentioned on the show. The Random Review is back with Shark, as well as another regular review of the newest Fountains of Wayne album. We'll also have another go-round with Under the Scope. Stick around, everyone. The next generation of The Scope starts right after this. The Scope is becoming so huge that even the judges from American Idol are talking about it. Let's find out what they think of Adam's Scope performance so far.
Adam. Yeah. It was absolutely categorized under pointless.
Okay, I have another opinion. It was awful.
Thanks, American Idol judges. Now, back to more of The Scope. Partington out.
It's a new year, and it's been a long time. It's been a long time since last year. It's been a whole year. Well, it gets a guy to thinking about the time that passes by. Lots of time in 1 year, 365 and a quarter days. And I can't go back, I can't go back to last year. 'Cause there's one whole year between us.
And we are back. Jared, I'm a little concerned about all this new music because so far the music has been better than all the comedy in the show so far.
I'm trying to switch it up. We're going to try to do some fresh music every show here. So,
well, very impressive and very appropriate for the next segment of the show. It is the Scope 1 year anniversary, and it's time to look back. Jared, do we have any music or anything like that for this?
That was your music. That was your 1 year anniversary music.
I thought we might have something else. But since Tony is here, I'm going to give him the honor of introing this next segment. Tony, if you will.
Which one is this?
Right at the top.
Oh, right there.
Right at the top. And then pass me back that paper.
You couldn't do two copies, Shane?
In all seriousness.
No. Sorry, Tony. Stepping all over you.
1 year in the making. No one thought it would last. But the legend that is the Scope lives on. Get ready, Scope faithful. It's time for the Scope Year in Review.
Brilliant.
Not to be confused with the Scope's year in review of 2006, where we reviewed all the things that happened.
That is quite a brain teaser. How would you classify that? I mean, what would be the proper naming for
it? It's
that?
A year in review, but yeah. This time we're looking at the specifically right. The Scope, right. Not other events.
The last 12 months.
Not
the year
right.
As a year.
Year to date?
No, because that would be January to April.
April 06 to April 07.
Yeah. Jared, what does George Lopez have to say about the Scope? That's what
I'm Dan Bundy. This is George Lopez. You may know me from my long-time ABC hit sitcom, The George Lopez Show. All right.
We're going to lose all our sponsors.
Although I received terrible
now.
Reviews from the Scope, I still want to thank the Scope amigos for their best and hearty congratulations. Hey, about that, man, for their hard work over the year. All right. Keep on trucking, dude. Keep it real. I'm going to go spray paint your house.
Wow.
George Lopez, the least Hispanic-sounding Hispanic guy that I know of, Earl's impression.
That was Earl. What do you mean Earl's impression?
That was Frank Welker. Come on.
Oh.
That was Hugo.
Well, it's okay then.
Yeah. Tony, definitely not as racist as you think. I mean, there's a little background back there. But...
well, yeah,
I know. Sorry.
Tony wants nothing to do with the show now.
Tony's actually moving towards the door right
now.
No.
Seal the borders.
Yep. So I think the question on everyone's mind is, how did the Scope show start? And I think we might have covered this in our best of episode, episode 6. I don't think we've talked.
7.
Or 7, I don't know.
Come on, don't you know the Scope chronology, Shane?
I really don't, but I guess I wanted to get into a little bit about that, just because I think it's important.
Oh, that's the one that I wasn't invited to, that episode?
Yeah. I'm sure we picked up a ton of new listeners since then, right? Yeah. And none of them have heard this stuff before.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's go back. Is it 3 years ago or so, Jared? I don't remember. But it all started when I decided to throw a big birthday party for my wife and myself, and it was going to be an 80s themed party. And part of what I wanted to do for this was, number one, get a massive library of 80s music, because I wanted everyone to come and have the opportunity to pick any song they want and really make it authentic. So part of what I did is I was doing research on the internet trying to find, you know, lists of 80s music and things of that nature. And I came across a website that had a listing for a particular radio program. And I won't really get into what it is, but it just ended up, it was one of those little listings where it said, you need to check out this radio program because they will play all sorts of obscure 80s stuff that you may remember, but doesn't really get played on like your local radio station. So I went and I listened to this radio program, and as I was just kind of in the moment for about 2 hours or so, I realized that, hey, there's people out there that are doing stuff that they really love, and it ties into their passions in life. And clearly this was one of those moments where the guy that was running this program really had a lot of interest, a lot of knowledge about 80s and a lot of other music, but that tended to be his focus, that particular show. And I thought to myself, just in the back of that, I know I kind of want to do something where I can be creative and do that sort of thing. It doesn't necessarily have to be radio, but I thought it needed to tap into some of my other creative outlets. So that was sitting in the back of my head.
That's too bad.
Yeah, I know. Couple that
Wait a minute.
Oh, go ahead.
Was this the party that I came to?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was 2 years ago.
Was it 2 years ago?
The party that me was a birthday party for you, I didn't get a present for Carrie, so no wonder why she hates me.
Mystery solved, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, that's actually coming up in the next episode, the Adam versus Carrie debate.
Dick.
Yeah. So, file that in the back of your head, Tony, Jared, Adam. And
it's getting kind of cramped back there.
Yeah, I know.
I need to clear out some space.
And another part of wanting to make the party really exciting and authentic was
lots of free booze.
Was I was thinking, you know, I could Well, there was a lot of free booze, actually. Great party. But I wanted to have some sort of trivia contest, you know, kind of get into that 80s spirit and get people involved.
Did you just compliment your own party?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Okay. I actually said to Jared yesterday, best party I've ever been to. So there we go. But I wanted to do this big trivia contest, and I didn't really know if it would just be a matter of, you know, just having a couple questions on cards and getting people involved, or what it would end up being. So I started talking.
Well, clearly, once you got me involved, yeah, it was not going to be something so simple.
Yeah, I talked to Jared about this stuff, and he's like, that's a great idea. And then the next day he comes back and he goes, well, I've got a great idea where I can write a computer program. We can turn it into a fully functional game show. I'll bring some speakers. I'll bring mics. And we're going to go out and we're going to put on, like, The Price is Right for your quiz show.
Don't forget, I manufactured actual hand buzzers.
That's right. That's right.
Which tied into the computer and triggered things on screen.
So yeah, so it actually ended up being a fully functional game show at this party where we had 20, 25 people playing. Jared did create these hand buzzers. We had a computer monitor where the questions came up on screen. It was a really big production. And it also ended up being pretty successful, except for the fact we had, you know, exceeded fire safety capacity probably by about 50 people in our house. So I think it had to be about 120 in there by the time everything was completed. But
and Gary's super flammable outfit probably wasn't going to help.
Absolutely. Yeah. And this was one of the first times that I kind of hung out with Adam on a social level. I mean, that'd be fair. I mean, it's probably the only time we've ever been on a social level. I've never seen him outside of the show. But
I just keep him in a box down here and you just pull him out on game day.
Absolutely. So, it was a really successful quiz show. I think people really liked it. And so then I think after that, Jared and I started talking a little bit about, hey, you know, what if we tried to do this on a regular basis? How could we do a fun sort of game show or something of that nature?
Sure.
And I think that festered for about, and fester would be the proper word, festered for, you know, 6 months or so.
Yeah.
Until it went systemic.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then we had to cut it out.
Yeah, it had to be lanced.
It was pretty sad. I still have the scars.
Very nice. And so Jared and I were like, yeah, what can we do? Maybe we could do something on the internet or something like that.
Yeah, I had started getting into listening to podcasts at this point and realizing that there was, while some really good ones, there was also some really terrible ones out there. And it kind of dawned on me that I have all this recording.
Yeah, down with Adam Curry.
You may not like a show, but he has a huge audience.
So. I'm just kidding. It's a fine show.
But
it's a fine show.
I'll take any money he throws away.
So it dawned on me that I have all this recording equipment, and it probably wouldn't be that difficult to throw something together if we wanted to do something.
And let's clarify, at the time you were in a band, you were doing... I mean, you're in a band now, but you were doing a lot of creative stuff.
Sure.
And maybe I was a little jealous. I don't know, but I wanted in on that action some way. And well, I couldn't think so. And so going along concurrently with that, you know, I was talking to Jared, but then for some reason, Adam and I started talking about it. Do you have any inkling how that started, Adam? Because I don't remember how...
We walked to the ATM one day. Like
holding hands.
Just going to say, hand in hand?
This wasn't when you were socializing, was it?
No, naked. Downtown, walking through the warehouse
and
district.
I remember you just asked, and I was like, all right, whatever.
Yeah.
As I am about
you're very noncommittal.
Yeah, but so as you can see, Adam is probably the key to the entire operation. Yeah.
As long as I don't have to put up too much effort, I'll do it. Right.
And, you know, I thought it was interesting.
Do I have to leave the house?
Right. I think I did ask that.
Yes, Adam, you can't phone it in. I think the interesting thing
Actually, he could, but let's not go there.
But, I'm going to try this for the third time. The interesting thing about getting Adam involved was, you know, neither Jared and I knew him very well, so I thought it would be an interesting dynamic to have somebody who had a similar sensibility, similar sense of humor, maybe a little darker and a little more frightening from time to time. Although his tab shirt that's bright pink wouldn't say that right now. But I just thought it would be interesting dynamic to have someone in who wasn't a person that we've known for 15 or 20 years, where we have this shorthand of language and we have all these shared events and experiences that maybe wouldn't mean as much to the outside person.
And so, someone who's who's younger than us, let's just say it.
Adam is, you know, out there. He's
16.
To add youth and spontaneity.
Exactly.
Right. So we went and got Tony.
And then I was thinking, what can we do to go the opposite direction? Just kidding, Tony. Yeah. So, yeah, let's get into the fourth person, the fourth piece of the puzzle. And,
but Earl's not here.
And the fifth piece of the puzzle, and possibly the most important, is Tony. And how Tony got involved.
I thought Tom Cruise was the most important.
You're glib. Oh, yeah.
And Tony, we've
done with the first couple shows.
I think the last time you were here, Tony, we talked about this, but we can get into it again. Tony's an interesting fellow because he used to work with my wife at a medical clinic, and Carrie would come back to me and say, you know, I've got this guy who, you know, every time I talk to him, he's got a new story about a different job he's done. He's been an actor. He's an opera singer. When he sings really loud. That's what she said. Because Tony says if you sing opera, to sing it properly, you have to sing it loud.
Yeah, usually.
That's the key. There's no whispering opera. You know, he's done radio. He's done TV. He's done movies. This guy's the real deal.
Scuba diving?
Have in St. Thomas.
Excellent. Yep, why are you addressing it to Adam?
where you don't have to be certified. Just certifiable.
Tony's out there flopping around with arm floaties. You know? I'm not sinking. What's going on here? So I kind of said in an offhanded manner to Carrie, you know, this guy would be perfect for our radio show. I said, we need an announcer.
He doesn't know us. He doesn't know how crappy we are.
He doesn't know who I am. I've never met him. And, you know, he is the perfect, just for that reason, because he doesn't know me. And he has no preconceived ideas and notions. Oh, yeah. He is perfect for this show.
And most importantly, he'll work for free.
He will work for free. He'll sit in the basement and just rattle off line after line after line. And
we have our civic duties.
Exactly.
You know?
So I think Carrie probably brought it up to you jokingly, and then it, you know, kind of bounced back and forth, and eventually we met one time, and you were in, and
After it festered,
and
antibiotics had failed us.
Absolutely. We started cutting off stuff, and it was very ugly. So, yeah, I mean, that's how the four people got together, and then from there, it was just a process of writing and actually getting up the gumption to do something like this, and you know, I think Adam and I talked about this probably about 3 months or 2 months or a month and or a day before the show starts, and probably we talk about it every day now. I can't believe we're actually doing this. We're sticking to it and making it happen. So that I think that was the big worry for us.
I guess now is a good time to tell you guys that I'm quitting to do a rival podcast.
Wow. No,
it's not Adam Curry's show, is it?
Yes.
But you know,
he just contacted me.
He called him on the cell phone, which is great.
This is going out live, so that makes sense.
Before we actually recorded a show,
you sunk my battleship.
We felt it was important to put something on the internet that would maybe start prepping all the people out there. So we recorded a little bit of an introduction, and it was an interesting time for the scope because it was very difficult to get Adam in on the mix. So a lot of times it would be Jared and myself maybe making reference to Adam, but he wasn't there.
Well, you guys do live a minute from each other.
Yeah, I mean, we live.
That's true.
You know, and Adam was kind of doing his own
thing. I'm actually
thinking
of building a giant slingshot that I can just vault myself into Shane's yard.
That's all you would need.
Yeah. And if you would make a companion piece, then I could get home. Otherwise, you know, I got to walk.
I actually can picture that, and I think it just might work. So, yes, we recorded an introduction bit, and a lot of people haven't heard it. And if they have, they probably never want to hear it again. So
I'm one of those people.
Yeah, we're gonna listen to it. I haven't heard it in about a year. So, Jared, if you would, please play our introduction, the first mini podcast we posted announcing the show would be coming soon.
Hello there. This is Jared.
And this is Shane. We're two of the three hosts of The Scope, a new podcast coming soon to a neighborhood near you.
So prepped.
Our third host, Adam, is off preparing for Passover, but we promise he'll be ready for the premiere. Hey, Jared, why don't you talk a little bit more about the show?
All right, I think I can do that. Fabulous secret powers were bestowed upon us the day we held aloft our magic microphone and said,
"By the power of..."
Hey, man, what the hell are you doing?
I'm channeling my inner
strength.
What the hell's wrong with us? To talk about the scope? Hello?
I think you need to keep that inner strength in your pants. Okay, let's cut to the chase, Jared. We really don't know what the scope is going to be about.
Not a clue. Oh, yeah.
Not a clue. But we'll give you our solemn oath that it will be awesome.
You can take that to the bank.
We'll probably talk.
I like that there was an oath involved somehow.
Maybe review some cool and not
that's
so
the
cool
oath.
Stuff.
It's awesome.
We'll have some pre-produced bits because we're not that good.
The thing I can guarantee, your host of the scope will sound like complete idiots.
Well, that came
that's
true.
Reason enough to check us out. Is there anything else you want to add to this mess?
Of course. 10 plus 5 is 15. Oh, that's not enough, did it?
Yep.
You know, I didn't get it the first three times I heard it. That's a pun. It totally went over my head the first time.
In the meantime, keep checking thescopeshow.com for details.
Or details. It's up to you.
You can also subscribe to our feed and have the first episode delivered right to your doorstep by beautiful women. Wouldn't that be cool? So thanks for listening.
It never ends, does it?
Remember, the scope. We're vomit free since 93.
And that last one ended around episode 9, too. The vomit free thing.
Holy cow.
I mean, what do you say about that, Tony?
Shucks, folks, I'm speechless.
He's going to be taking off his link to the Scope Show from his website immediately.
I think we've come a long way in a year.
A couple notes about
worked out the acoustics, that's for sure.
A couple notes about that. We recorded it in Jared's bathroom, so that's why it sounds like we're talking from a tub.
And, well, that's where Orson Welles started.
Yeah. And although Jared was in a band and definitely more comfortable around a mic at the time, I was petrified of talking into a microphone. I still maybe get a little bit nervous.
Oh, please.
Did you find more comfort doing it in the bathroom?
Among other things.
I drew him a bath, put in some mineral salts, lit some candles, bottle of Chardonnay. Shane was ready to go.
I'm all about aromatherapy, when you boil it down to its basest elements. So, yeah, it was a pretty frightening first example of what we're going to do, and I'm surprised anybody actually tuned in after that. Probably most of our friends, but beyond that.
Shane, let's face it, 3 people maybe actually listened to it.
Yeah.
If that.
Yeah. And we will never play that again, ever. And, Adam, that's a perfect reason to be proud of not being involved in...
There's a few more to come.
Yeah. So from there, we got our act together, and we put together a first show. Shockingly enough, we worked very hard. Got our pre-produced bits, as I said, and put something together. And part of the first show was we wanted to do a little funny thing. I don't even know how to explain this, Jared. Please help me out.
This was our early attempts at comedy.
Yeah.
We were trying to just say do a bit about what the show could have been.
Yep.
Our kind of false starts on the first episode.
Like if we were to do a certain type of show and it didn't work, we would try another type of show.
Yeah.
And these bits, once again, all did not feature Adam. So. Once again, Adam, be proud because you are going to come out.
These are better than the promo, but
yep. So just start playing some, Jared. I don't know what order we're going to do if you want to set them up.
This first one is the it's the first one. It's supposed to be like people who are really amateurish and just can't really figure out how to actually operate the equipment.
I don't want to hear this.
Yes, you do. Here we go.
No, don't.
Okay, I guess we can go whenever.
Okay,
because we're rolling now. So,
hey everybody, welcome to Jared, Shane, and Adam's Hot Soup Podcast.
Hi.
That's Jared over there.
Hi.
Adam isn't here right now. He's off being sized for a new yarmulke, so hopefully... Dude, man, it's not that funny.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Anyway, we got some really awesome stuff coming up, Jared.
Awesome.
Some sweet stuff. We're going to be doing some
sweet
music reviews. I just picked up the latest Mariah Carey... Oh, careful, don't hit that mic, Jared.
Sorry.
I got the new Mariah Carey album. It's got some hot...
Oh, it's falling over. Crap.
Sorry. It's got some it's got some hot tracks on it. I think that she's working with Ludacris.
Testing.
I'm sorry. High enough?
Jared is going to be talking about his new favorite show. It's on the WB Network. It's called Everwood.
I don't see that on my sheet here.
Well, you're going to be talking about it because otherwise they're going to suck.
Can we pause? Because I don't even know what I'm doing.
Okay, we'll be right back after this message.
I love the we're struggling. Let's go to an Adam Jew joke.
Okay. that was a theme for us. That was a very prominent theme in the first.
It's
few
just
shows.
So easy.
What I liked about these bits is most of these were actually ad libbed.
Yeah,
and then that, obviously this was intentionally supposed to be bad. So. If it sounded bad, that was the point.
Yeah. Yes.
Thank you.
You did an excellent job at that then.
Very uncomfortable.
Thank you.
Listening to it.
Except for the ducking of the music at the end, which somehow sounds much more professional than it should have.
Very nice. So we've got another one, Jared. What would that be?
This would be as if I had taken over control of the show and wanted to do nothing but an old school hip hop podcast. Here we go.
Which is actually still the case today.
Yo, it's DJ Jazzy J in the f***ing house. That's right. Nothing but old school beats, hitting the street, because I got 2 feet, that's what I'm talking about. My left, my boy, Shane Dog, say something now.
Hey dogs, you guys f***ing rule.
Yeah, that's the that's what I'm talking about. Couldn't make it today because we do this on the Sabbath, and my boy don't play on the Sabbath. MCA bomb.
We miss you, A bomb.
That's right, get that taken care of, man. All right, gonna play some cool stuff for you now. Got some LL Cool J, got some Fat Boys,
They're probably fat.
Damn right they are.
They're big.
You tell it straight, man. You know what time it is.
Yeah, it's 2:45.
All right, we'll be back after this with more dope for ya.
What does dope mean? Dog.
So there you go.
I kind of like that.
I do too. I thought it was
kinda
funny.
A lesson in comedy, bleeping always works, Tony. Yes. Don't ever step away from the bleep.
Exactly. Don't work
Never
blue.
Have.
Work fake blue. It's much better.
Yeah, absolutely. And now so I can hate myself even more,
yeah.
Let's play the third one. That was me playing it as a shock jock and Jared being my sidekick, and Adam's not there. So
Shane Imus, I think, was your character's name.
And I can't even say anything. I'm not going to, but yeah. Hey, everybody. Welcome to The Nasty. This is Shane, your host. The Nasty is the rudest, sickest, most sexually depraved podcast on the internet. With me, as always, is my partner in crime, Jared.
My name is Beetlejuice.
We're missing the third guy in the group. That's Adam.
Holy jeez.
He's off at his nephew's bar mitzvah. Hopefully we'll see him next time. And we've got a great show coming up for you. I cannot wait for it. First of all, we're going to have Crystal and Honey, the one-armed strippers.
My God, thank you.
We're going to cover them in Vaseline and throw rotten fish at them. They're going to stink it up all over the place, and it's going to be sexy and hot.
You should take it, honey.
After that, jerk-off Johnny comes into the studio. He's the cross-eyed midget. I don't know what he's going to get into, but it's probably going to smell like shit. But to get the show started, we're talking to our special guest star, Tracy. Tracy, what are you in the studio for today?
Well...
Forget it. I want to see you topless. I want to see it now. I want to see it quickly. What is it going to take?
Dude, I'm a guy. Why do you want to see my...
We'll be back with rotten fish and strippers after the break. You're listening to The Nasty.
I love the effort that went into it. Let's just take 5 minutes from a Stern show and take all the sound clips from that.
Yeah, it was like all the opening. It was all the clips that were like currently being used at the time.
Yeah.
Two interesting notes. Sexy and hot, my catchphrase that has followed me. Unfortunately,
is that where that came from?
That's where that came from. So my family often teases me about that. And often time he's a contributor for the show. Al was the voice of the stripper, and he's the one that actually taunts me with sexy and hot.
And strips.
And strips, which is the biggest taunt of them all.
My favorite part about that was the vodka straight up girls, because I remember how much we were loving it at work at the time, like because it was on the Stern show. They kept replaying it. And I would cry at work laughing about it.
It was pretty funny. Let's just talk about the funniest Stern bits we've ever heard and shelf the scope forever.
Yeah.
So that was show one, and boy, we pushed along with varying degrees of success. We did a lot of pre-produced bits, I think, in those early days. And one of them was for a Tom Cruise interview. And that was Tom Cruise going crazy, the couch jumping bit where he was, you know, going wacko with Oprah. He did an interview with Diane Sawyer
on Matt Lauer.
I mean, he was just really a wacko. So we thought it would be interesting to take some of those interview clips, merge them in with me interviewing him, and make something great. And it wasn't that great, but...
I thought it was really good.
Okay, it was good. It was good. But the interesting thing that came out of it was Jared really took over the Tom Cruise mantle of excitement and placed a lot of Tom Cruise sound clips into the show.
Oh, yeah.
And it...
Over me. Really.
Pretty much over, over Adam. And at some point... he's back.
Oh, yeah.
At some point, a friend of the show, Jess, had commented to... the website or Adam, I'm not sure, that Jared played way too many Tom Cruise clips, and it needed to stop. And
bringing back the memories.
Yes. And in a fit of rage, Jared created the Tom Cruise rebuttal, or was it just the Tom Cruise rap? I don't know if we ever gave it a name, but
it was more of an effort to kind of retire the sound effects briefly.
Okay, so I think we should probably...
Obviously didn't work.
We should play that.
Cool. Okay. Oh, yeah. Big gloom.
That's what I see.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Big gloom.
There's some fun.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Big gloom.
That's ridiculous. Okay. It's just ridiculous. Mm. So we're good. It's been lovely. I have to go. Oh, yeah.
What do you think of that, Tony?
I, you know, at this point, I had yet to meet Adam, so I say,
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
And did we retire the Tom Cruise sound effects after
they, that? There was a couple of episodes where they were on hiatus, but they came back.
And I think...
And there'll be more coming soon.
More sound effects? More Tom Cruise
More
sound
Tom
effects?
Cruise. But I'll try to use them sparingly.
It came back as the listeners left, right?
He does have movies coming out, so certainly
yeah, we've got to jump on that bandwagon. I think that was a high point. I think that was
maybe
a turning
a
point.
Song.
Maybe one of the turning points for the show where I think the comedy...
Started to come together.
It was a little bit more natural, a little less forced, and I think right around that time we were a little more comfortable on the mics as well. I mean, it wasn't one of those moments where you get in front of the mic, what are you going to do, what are you going to say, you know, am I sounding natural? You just we just would get up there and do it. So
we were starting to coagulate.
Exactly.
Back in the days when we struggled to hit an hour.
Yeah. And now, hey.
I don't think we ever did.
No. 45 minutes, everybody. We're not doing bad right now. One of the groups that we wanted to cater to for our podcast was the geek set, the, you know, the people that might listen to parody music, the set that might read comic books, would go see comic book movies, but also have a good knowledge of pop culture. And the place that we thought that would be the best place to get in touch with these people was Convergence, which is a local science fiction convention, fantasy convention.
Yep.
A lot of people go there. It happens in July.
I believe the popular phrase now is speculative fiction.
Wow.
I'm just saying.
The politically correct term for geek. Yeah, so we decided let's do a live show from there. Let's get in there and let's make it happen. We're gonna go there. We're going to make a big splash and everyone's going to come and listen. And
was that when you met Ann Coulter?
Ann Coulter was there and she called us nappy-headed, so... It's crazy. But we got there, and we went right in the middle of all the action, and we set up our big podcast, big table, and yep. Then what happened, Jared?
Oh, was that our disaster?
That was
it
a
was,
disaster.
We couldn't get clean power, so there was nothing. There was a electrical hum in the lines, and
yeah.
It was just a mess. So we had to basically shut it down and move it back to the hotel room.
And keep in mind, one of the key elements of all these conventions, Tony, is alcohol. So
Carrie told me
yes,
work.
It's in the manual.
So we're setting up and we're drinking and it's dramatic and people are getting sauced and frustrated and happy. I mean, it was just a cornucopia of emotion and energy.
Plethora.
But yeah, so it made it very.
You invited Tony for his vocabulary, didn't
you? Yes. That also, as I backtrack, that was also the place where Jess and professional comedian Bill went out and did interviews with the general populace of Convergence. And while we don't have any of those clips, it was a pretty successful segment, and I thought they did a great job. So a good shout-out to our sometime correspondents that covered Convergence with vigor and energy.
Were they physically injured in any way?
They weren't, but...
They were threatened multiple times.
Were they really? No, it was great because they would literally just get in the face of somebody who was dressed like Spider-Man and you know, treat them as if they were Spider-Man or just ask very... unusual, crazy questions.
Spidey
and,
jokes.
Yep. And it,
Wolverine was a key example.
Wolverine was a guy. And it was really interesting because the question was, before we went to the convention, are these people going to be insulted that we're kind of giving them a hard time? Are they going to have a sense of humor? Are they going to play along with it? And I think almost everybody there, Adam, with the exception of the security guards who were covering the show.
Right.
Everybody was willing to play along and had a good time with it.
Even
the
racist Captain Kirk was playing along.
Racist Captain. Yeah, that's an interesting thing with our show is, you know, we understand who we are. I mean, we are geeky and we enjoy that sort of thing. But at the same time, we also can make fun of ourselves and have a good time with it. And, you know, it's never a line where we want to go across and say, you know, you people are douchebags for what you do because... You know, you don't want to do that, but at the same time, you got to understand where you're coming from and who you are and
have a little perspective on
it. It was a TV show. Get a life!
Exactly. That's exactly it. But so let's get back to the story. We had to move the entire production up into one of the hotel rooms. So immediately...
Yes. We just picked a random one, knocked on the door, said, we're coming in. We're going to do a show. They said, but we're sleeping. I said, sorry to inconvenience you, but we really need the space.
They said, are you guys with the scope?
Come on in. We need the room.
Come on in. We need the room. So we piled in about 10 people in there. By this time, everyone is just trashed.
Yeah. It's like 2:30 in the morning.
No, I had sobered up at this point.
Adam was, Adam had gone from being completely wasted to completely sober.
And there's nothing better than hanging out with 9 completely wasted people when you're now sober.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I think the lesson learned from this particular...
I was grumpy, too, by the way.
Yeah. Jared was grumpy. And, you know...
I heard about that, too.
Whenever technical problems go go awry or, you know, kind of are uncontrollable and, you know, you add other things into the mix, it could be kind of a volatile situation. But,
yeah.
You know, we decided, let's just go ahead, let's get something on tape and push forward. And the main point of the show, I think, was to talk about Superman Returns, which this is, well, this will be our last Earl reference for the rest of the
of
the show. I think so. But Earl was definitely against Superman at this point. You know, it, yeah, just because it, Tony's looking at me with a look of shock and surprise, but
shock and awe.
I don't know what his beef was with it. I mean, it wasn't action packed enough. It strayed from the continuity.
He hated Perry White.
He hated Perry White. That's the reason why a minor
and
character.
Jimmy Olsen. And he just didn't think it was true to the character.
So yeah, that was going to be the focus of that debate for that evening. You throw in a lot of alcohol. You throw in a lot of emotion, and you get chaos. And I think Adam and Earl went back and forth a little bit. I don't know what the clips are.
Especially Bill. Remember, it was Bill yelling at
us. Yeah, I cut this down to just the Adam and Earl moments.
Oh, okay, good. So set us up, Adam. Jared, let's play some.
This
the
is
Earl
just the Superman debate club.
I think you set us up just fine with that 15-minute intro, by the way.
I knew it should have been a two-person show.
Here we go.
Now we're talking the Scope Debate Club.
It's a little noisy.
Scope Debate Club. We're bringing in Earl Locus, who saw the movie.
Drunk.
What are they going to do for a sequel? They have completely screwed the series.
I don't write that stuff, so I don't know.
And then
Bill
over
here.
Brian Singer did.
Adam,
I don't like anything
no,
Brian Singer
stop
does.
Stop talking.
Earl,
yes,
stop talking. And Luke wants in.
How did they screw the series? How?
Take his mic. Superman 2 has got to be the best out of the series.
Why?
Because
they make up new powers for him?
What?
Suddenly the room has come alive. I love it.
Thank you, Earl Lucas. Adam, go ahead.
There's a lot of problems with the movie. It's not perfect.
I might have still been drunk, actually.
Lex Luthor's plan is terrible. I think that...
I'm going to do what I did.
Remember
we were yelling
when
about
said only one person's going to talk when we do a round robin?
I'm sorry, I forgot the mic was in front of my face.
Sure. Guess what, Earl? Adam's talking. I can't bring this to a final point, so I will say to be continued.
There you go.
Yes, that was condensed time.
It was a long and winding road, so I just cut it down to some essentials.
That was good.
What do you remember from that, Adam? What point strikes you?
Because
you were the soberest of the bunch.
I remember everyone talking and being really annoying, and me wanting to go home. Especially since you guys were able to, you guys could sleep there.
Yeah,
I could not. So
you be going to Convergence this year, Adam?
No.
You just won't even show up.
No.
What if we do a show from there?
I have plans already that weekend.
Right.
No, I really
we don't
do.
Know what weekend it is, but he's got.
I would assume it's like July 7th.
I think so.
7th, 8th, 9th.
I have plans.
So there you go, people. Adam ruining the Scope Show once again. Just kidding, Adam.
Wow.
Lesson learned from that: you can mix booze with the Scope, but not too much booze. We followed that drunken show up 6 months later with our 4th of July, our New Year's Eve. I wouldn't say telecast, radio cast, where we were slightly inebriated, but not to that level. And it actually turned out pretty good, I think, compared to that mess.
Yeah, we kept it to 30 minutes.
Yeah,
it was a condensed little special episode.
It was a short show. We were sitting right in the studio as we are right now, and it was quite a spectacle.
In between games of Wii and Guitar Hero 2.
Absolutely.
Where I unfortunately raped Jared's guitar.
I didn't see that.
It's bound to happen.
You don't.
I mean, to put on that slutty dress and
no, not. Oh, no. Yeah.
I think Tony would agree with me when I said, well, "Who hasn't?" At
right.
this point, so
wow.
You know, I lied.
It is the town guitar.
It gets around.
There is one more Earl. There is one
Nightwalker.
More. There is one more Earl moment, and it will be. He will be featured in probably our most popular segment that we've revisited twice. That would be Hit the Post. Or is there not a segment to that, Jared?
There is, but I don't know if Earl's involved. Was Earl here for that?
Well, he was here for the second Hit the Post.
Right, but we didn't do anything for the second.
Okay, so Earl was in the second Hit the Post, but we're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the inaugural edition of that happened,
right?
You know, probably about a year ago or so. And
episode 6. So.
Yeah, I mean,
Hit the Post. In Texas, that's a pissing contest, isn't it?
Minnesota, it's a little different.
Okay. Yeah, it's our game show where we wanted to act like real DJs. And, you know, hitting the post is the act of, you know, when a music plays and there's the ramp up to the actual vocals of the music where the DJ talks up to it, you know, say, this is the Rolling Stones with Start Me Up, blah, 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 blah. You know, that
right. You taught me how to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember that, yeah.
So, you know, we made a game show out of it and we made it a little bit more random because we picked quasi-random clips. We didn't really have the time, you know, that we would have to talk. in front of us, and then we just let her rip, and we gave ourselves different topics to try to accomplish. And Jared and I took each other on in the first edition of it, and Jared had quite an interesting attempt to hit the post on one particular song, and I think he's going to play that for us.
Oh, man.
Welcome back to the program. It's the Duke of Rock here. You're listening to WSAP, The Scope, the only radio station that plays songs with the longest intros around. Let me tell you something. We got a contest coming up here. Everyone out there in the land.
What do I talk
fast?
Why don't
you listen to the phrase that pays? When you hear that phrase, you call in, you dial your phone, you hit 989-WSAP, and you could win big money, big prizes. I'm talking $500 for the 21st caller. That's right. So don't be lazy. Listen up. Listen for those magical phrases that pays, and give us a call.
I can't pluralize
properly. If you win, you'll be entered into a
phrases
drawing for $10,000. Ladies and gentlemen, can you hear that? $10,000.
Woo!
That's right. Big money, big prizes right here on WSAP, the only station that gives you money. Not real money, but fake money, because we're having fun here. It's a good time here. This is good. Just keep on going because, you know, it's casual and people like it casual. And if you like to hang out, maybe sit at the bar and make a few drinks and enjoy the radio. And that's what we do. We don't like to clutter things with lyrics. We like to keep it fresh. We've got some music here for you. I could just sit down and listen to the song all day. You guys folks, I mean, this is good times. I mean, this is, it reminds me of a fresh summer day with a Mai Tai and maybe a fresh salad. I don't know. Sitting on the beach. Have a good time.
Salad?
Sitting there with my lady. I can smell the sand.
Smell the ocean.
Tell you what. This is a flock of seagulls. I ran so far away. From the album, A Flock of Seagulls, right here. WSAP, The Scope. Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh my god!
That was the unusually long introduction. I think that the average introduction that both Jared and I had attempt was a minute and a half long, and obviously they don't do that on regular radio. But we thought it'd be fun to try.
And he did an amazing job.
And by God, he did it.
He just kept talking.
Yeah,
talking.
You just have to improv the whole thing.
That was good times. And, you know, we did bring it back a couple weeks ago or a couple shows ago where Jared took on Earl and
Al.
And Al and John. And it was...
John wasn't here.
It was, or John wasn't here. He was going to be in it, but that fell through. But it ended up being just as big of a disaster as you might think it was. Except for Jared did a great job, so...
Of course.
And I have a hunch that Hit the Post will come back again and again and again because it's a very popular segment.
The kids love it.
The kids do love it. Boy, looking at my notes here... I don't see anything else to talk about, so that...
Good grief, we're almost at an hour.
That has been the Scope Year in Review. We've got a lot of great things coming up in year two. I think we've got six or eight shows planned out already.
Well, the good thing is that, like Arrested Development, once we hit year two, we can just be self-referential the whole time. We don't actually need new bits.
Yeah,
true.
So we'll be fine.
People that listen to the show on a regular basis will know exactly what we're talking about the entire time.
Absolutely amazing.
So, yeah, that was our year in review. Maybe we'll do it again next year. Maybe not. Who knows? But... I enjoyed it nonetheless.
They do
guys.
Have 26 shows a year to fill. So
yeah, sure absolutely.
We'll yeah, maybe we'll do a month in review.
So, Tony, thanks for being here for that part of the show.
Thank you so much.
Any closing comments as you listen to our truncated history?
Truncated.
Well, we didn't go show by show, which was my initial plan. But
holy cow!
Oh, that would have been.
No, it wasn't. But
that would have been War and Peace, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty much speechless at this point. I can only tell you...
That never happens, Tony.
At least you sound good.
Yep.
Yes. I can only tell you it's a great, great honor to be the sort of the voice of the Scope.
Yep.
I did revise on my website, I just want you to know, in my bio, it does say that I, if it's okay with you, I did put in that I was the announcer of the internationally acclaimed and award-winning... podcast.
Well, whatever lies you want to put on your website, it's fine with us.
Hey.
Yeah. And Tony, I can't wait for you to read the bio we have written for you at thescopeshow.com. Newly updated as of this show being posted, so everybody get ready for that.
Oh, dear. Just remember, though, please, about the Witness Protection Program issue.
Oh.
Yes, very important.
Put a mustache on him quick.
Well, we actually spelled your name with an E and a little slash over the top, so it's Tony.
Oh, Saint Aigu.
Yeah, exactly.
It's okay.
Well, thank you very much. You know, the one other person out there that finds the show great and is honored by it would be Kirk Douglas, Jared.
Hey, this is Kirk Douglas. You guys on the Scope have been doing this crap for a year. There's a word for it, and I didn't invent it. You better not be here next year. I swear to God, I'll knock you through the floor. Kirk Douglas out.
That was before his stroke, right?
I don't know.
That's actually after the latest therapy, speech therapy.
I see. Okay. Oh.
I think I made that same exact joke.
Oh, boy.
So that's been the Scope Year in Review. Thanks for listening. We'll be back right after this with Scope Sounds.
This is the Oprah Winfrey Celebrity Shoutout of the Day.
Please welcome Oprah Winfrey.
That was the Oprah Winfrey Celebrity Shoutout of the Day. You go, girl. It's time to bust a move with Scope Sounds, the Scope Song of the Week. Drop that beat, homie.
Hit it!
From the PodSafe Music Network at music.podshow.com, this is New Atlantic with Wire and Stone, right here at the Scope.
This is Under the Scope, Year 2. As you all know, there's three parts to it. The first part, news. Adam, this is your time to shine.
I thought we were still on the B block.
It seemed like it was interminable.
Wow.
Yeah.
I thought it was fascinating.
It was.
It's just long, that's all.
We'll go quick here.
Well, then speed up your part. One story.
Hold for edit. Okay. Do you guys know that Lewis Black of The Daily Show fame is going to have he had a new pilot taped for Comedy Central, not necessarily meaning it's going to get on the air, but he had a new one anyway. The Root of All Evil, new pilot for Comedy Central starring Lewis Black, as well as Patton Oswalt, Greg Giraldo, and Paul F. Tompkins, was recorded on April 5th. It's from the producers of Real Time with Bill Maher and centers on Black and his panel of guests who discuss current events in what one assumes will be a funny manner. I like this quote. The show is described thusly: if you're a fan of Politically Incorrect or Real Time but don't understand the words, then this is your show.
Would you tune into that, Adam? I mean, it's got some of your favorite comedians.
Definitely.
On there.
Well, the thing is, this is Patton Oswalt's third pilot for Comedy Central. I guess it's not his, but it's the third one that he's been a part of. That and the previous two never made it to air. So
okay,
but I guess you know everyone loves Lewis Black or whatever. So there you go. I found out that he banged one of the waitresses from Acme Comedy Club, and she got fired.
Well, like it's her fault.
You're not supposed to sleep with the talent.
Don't fraternize with the talent. Learn that lesson, Tony.
Even though you said no more,
stay away from me.
No more Earl references. we have a story that was sent to us from Earl.
Oh yeah. 18th Earl reference of the day.
Supermax.
It's Earl with the Scope
Show.
It's
a film that is going to focus on the DC Universe villains. It's written by David Goyer. At least he's the one that's pitching it to Warner Brothers. And I guess it's getting a green light at the moment.
Let's say yes.
Okay. Focuses on Green Arrow and his incarceration, which never actually happens in the DC Universe that I can remember. Mm-hmm. I mean, Daredevil, you know, but I guess they can't make another Daredevil movie because the first one wasn't.
Why couldn't they just pick a villain and throw him in there?
Yeah, good point. I don't know. Anyway, I guess they're going to focus on a lot of the B and C villains from the DC Universe, which is supposedly for the fans, but I don't really understand what that why that would be.
That means
but.
You can make them look and do anything you want because nobody knows who they are.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense. That's what I anyway, I guess.
It seems ill-conceived from the start.
I agree. I don't understand. It's like Green Arrow.
I say Green Arrow, ho! Push forward.
Green Arrow, we can't use ho, by the way, this week.
That's right.
Imus has used it up.
That was a really good impression of Fred doing Don Imus.
Pretty much. Thank you.
Next up, Apple is delaying their new operating system, which is...
Boo.
What,
Where's my boo?
Microsoft's been... They're doing their best Microsoft impression, I guess. They're blaming it on the new iPhone. That's kind of taken over priority at the company right now.
I think the iPhone's going to be a big bomb. I really
do. You think so?
I do. I just don't see it.
The kids, it's like the number
Give
one...
Give me an iPod like that, great, but a phone like that?
Number one item of interest for like high-end teenage purchases in the next year.
That's if it's under $300, then it's a hit. But at $500, $600, I don't understand how kids are going to get it.
You know, they buy $200 shoes.
I guess so.
Is that like a chocolate phone?
Kids these days.
The iPhone?
Yeah.
It's way better than the chocolate line of telephones.
LG.
It's like an iPod.
See, and I thought Tony was talking about confections.
That's what he's thinking about. Chocolate. No, it's a high-end phone that's powered by Macintosh operating system.
It's a computer, an iPod
mixed
and a phone.
Into it.
Yeah.
Cutting edge interface. So it's supposed to be a pretty
sliver
big
of kryptonite inside.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay.
Powered by Dell.
Helps raise crystals. Your children. That sort of thing.
Next up, I guess the music business is going had a bad winter. But I mean, I don't remember the last time
In news of the obvious,
right? I don't remember the last time that the music business had like an uptick in sales. Like, I guess it happens, but like I never read stories saying it happened. But overall album sales for the January 1st to April 2nd period are down 16.6%, I guess year over year, I assume. I don't really understand why, but
well, the market, the whole music industry is changing, and the labels are really, really slow to react to that. Although, I mean, if they're, you can look at iTunes and other stores allowing people to download single songs is cutting into album sales, but some of that might go up now that iTunes has their whole Complete My Album thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yes, that new deal.
Yeah,
yep.
It's actually a really good idea.
And I don't know if this is listed in the story, Adam, but the other rumor is that Apple is considering doing a subscription service for iTunes. The labels they're up to renegotiate their contract, and that is one of the things they are pushing for. So we'll see if that actually happens.
Interesting. The thing that they talked about at the beginning is one of the things that it's good that iTunes is not subscription-based. They're going to consider it.
Well, at some point, you know, the way that labels make money from that is they get a little chunk of change for every single time one of those songs is downloaded, so it's, you know, so it's like multiple, they get multiple monies for one song versus, you know, someone just downloading it and then the company gets like 10 cents or whatever it happens.
Media companies would always prefer it if consumers didn't actually own a product, that they were always renting it
or own the rights to that product, yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah,
they want them to be able to pay every time they hear it or watch it or whatever. I mean,
absolutely.
And there's a lot of backlash against that
word.
But, When it comes to subscription music, I think I would be interested just because it lets you easily sample a large range of music. Kind of check something out, you know, mm-hmm. see if you like it or not. But as long as it's cheap.
We have illegal ways of doing that, too.
I know, but this would be easier.
I know. You're...
He's right.
It's all integrated.
The interesting thing about the music business is there's been a lot of writing, a lot of talk about how it's starting to morph into a situation where bands will be using their concerts and selling merchandise to get money rather than getting money from their albums. Their albums become a promotional tool versus something where it's a profit maker.
Yeah,
and we'll see if that actually happens.
And there's a lot of bands who are just foregoing the whole label system and just recording and producing their album themselves, and they keep all of the profits. You know, yeah, they don't have the distribution and the marketing, but... You get out there and you play some shows and maybe you get a following on MySpace and suddenly you can do okay.
And they don't have to sign their lives and rights away to...
No, they own the rights to everything. They get all the profits from the CD sales. I mean, it doesn't cost that much to make a CD.
No, I don't know.
If you don't have the equipment yourself, you know, a few grand in recording...
Well, they could always come to you, too.
Well, sure.
Tony, when you're recording your next country album, make sure that's the way you go.
That's right.
But the actual, like, production, physical production of a hard CD... You know, it's a couple bucks each, depending on quantities. It's really not that much. So there's a lot of profit to be made there.
The other thing in that news story was that for the first time in decades, deep discount retail chains like Target and Walmart led the versus the typical electronics music retail chains for the first time in decades, like I said.
And that sales. Probably won't change from here on out.
Probably. Next up, Barbarella is back in action. They're reviving the character.
Wasn't she voted off of American Idol?
She was.
Producers Dino and Martha De Laurentiis have completed a rights deal that will allow them to reinvent Barbarella. And the producers have set Casino Royale scribes Neil Purvis and Robert Wade to pen the script. Did both of you guys see that? The new Bond?
Yes, I haven't seen it.
It's fantastic.
It's very good. It's the best James Bond movie I've ever seen. I've never liked them, so I've never really understood why.
I've liked them, but I guess I should say I've liked parts of them. I've never found one that was great from beginning to end.
Mm-hmm. Goldeneye was okay. That's the other one that I can think of that was decent.
Okay.
Tony's gone.
He's had enough. He's getting up. He's leaving.
What did Adam say?
he hates Barbarella.
I can give him an Altoid.
Jane Fonda, okay with
it. Adam keeps looking at Tony in seductive ways, and he's very uncomfortable with that.
And then the pink t-shirt, and Tony's getting confused, mixed signals.
All the pieces are coming together.
So there's that. I guess they're making it.
Throwing news on the floor.
We're done with that.
Wow.
Finally, I found a site that had the best 13 TV shows that should have never been canceled. This came out because Andy Barker PI was canceled last week.
Mm-hmm. I think I saw this morning.
By the way,
pushed it Saturday nights to burn off the rest of the episodes.
Yeah. By the way, not that great of a show. It does not go in the top 10, 20, whatever shows ever have gotten canceled. It was funny.
It was quaint and clever, but it didn't it wow right. me.
Is Andy Richter funny?
He is funny, but he's funny as like a side, like, you know, he's not a leading man.
Yeah.
I've never seen him in a leading man thing
like
where,
he himself was not funny on the show. Like he was almost the straight man.
Yeah, it's Andy putting straight man Andy into weird situations. Yeah.
Well, I liked him in Talladega Nights, but he's doing a little dinky supporting role.
Right. Yep. Well, that and he was really good in Andy Richter Controls the Universe. I thought that whole show was really good, and that's one of the ones on here. In addition, Dead Like Me, Firefly, Doctor Who,
the Doctor Who one I didn't get as a canceled TV show in the U.S.
Yeah, because it sounded like it was actually just the movie.
Yeah,
I don't know if the movie was supposed to spawn into a series.
I think it was, but...
Briscoe County Jr.,
yeah.
Push Nevada, Undeclared, Andy Rick Controls the Universe, Jack of All Trades, Arrested Development, The Tech, Lone Gunman, and Sports Night.
Jack of All Trades wasn't that great.
Yeah.
That's a fanboy dream right there.
I love Bruce Campbell, but Jack of All Trades was...
He's got it.
Not that great, in my opinion. Sorry, folks. Write me letters. Comments at thescopeshow.com. Tell me how you feel.
Or dial it in.
206-350-7056. I was going to say there are two. What's his name? He was in both Briscoe County Jr. and...
Bruce Campbell?
Bruce Campbell, yes.
Yeah, and Jack of All Trades.
Yes, he was.
And then Andy Richter was on both Andy Richter Controls the Universe and guest starred on Arrested Development. Shut up.
And let's not forget about the numerous crossovers with Freaks and Geeks and Undeclared.
Yes.
Let's not.
And everyone from all of the shows was in Push Nevada.
By the way, I watched Can't Hardly Wait yesterday or the day before.
Yeah.
There are a ton of people in that go on to 6 Feet Under. It's really strange.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never seen 6 Feet Under. Oh, okay. So I'll have to take your word for it. I trust you. Shane, why are you grabbing at Lint? What's going on?
There's a bug.
That's it for the news,
damn
fellows.
Spring.
That's it for the news, Jared.
Chums.
That leads us to the second part of Under the Scope. We call it the reviews.
You make it sound like we made up a new word.
Yeah, the new word. Forget it. Yeah, you said it. Let's see if I can butcher this copy. For reviews this week, we're looking at a new album and a freshman television series, but we have a Scope rating system, and I'm going to read it 10 times better than Al did in
Woo!
The last show.
Do it, Shay. Go!
Our review system is called the Scope Score. It's a scale ranging from 0 stars to a perfect score of 4 stars. 0 is terrible. As I said, 4 is fantastic.
Would you say we should adapt the score for women rating as well, so we could have... Suddenly they all look a lot better.
I do.
They're all fours.
I do. I have. And if you guys are nice, I'll tell you what I rate my wife.
Wow!
When they're on all fours.
The first...
Tony's bringing the blue element.
Wow. What are we taking a look at first? Adam.
Tony's joke catalog.
Fountains of Wayne's new album.
Get him out of here.
Traffic and Weather. This is the band's fourth studio album, and their first new release since 2003's Welcome Interstate Managers. The album has been met with some very polarizing critical reviews, from a perfect score from the Onion's AV Club to a 3 out of 10 from indie music site Pitchfork. The album's opening song and first single, Someone to Love, comes off as one of the high points. Techno beats? Check. Pop culture references? Check. But having an opening that sounds like a fastball song? Oh God, why? Let's listen to a clip. Seth
Shapiro got his law. Oh yeah, I hear it now.
See?
I didn't even think about that.
He moved to Brooklyn from Schenectady, 93. Got some clients in the food industry. He says it's not the money, it's the recipes. He calls his mom, says he's doing fine. She's got somebody on the other line. Puts Coldplay on, pours a glass of wine. Curls up with a book about organized crime. When it's late, and it's hot, and the date with the late show's all that you've got. Don't give out, don't give up. One of these nights, you might find someone to love.
Oh, what?
Next up is 92 Subaru, where the band recalls much of the song Utopia Parkway from their 1999 release of the same name. This is an issue that spans a great deal of the album, with new songs sounding like reimaginings of their old hits. And I use hits in quotes, too. Take a listen to 92 Subaru and let the pseudo-cleverness wash over you.
My cousin Gary's taking a look at the transmission, putting in the plasma screen television. Seats feel like leather, you can't even tell that they're fake. And I only got a couple easy payments left to make. Just a little alcohol in the glove compartment minibar. Open up the moonroof so we can sit back and watch the stars. Oh yes, and the GPS so I always know where you are. So baby, don't go too far, because I'm coming for you.
Well, at the very least, they make you question whether they're being ironic or not.
Wow. What does Adam think of this?
Not much.
That's it for this completely non-slanted text. Shane, what did you think?
Well, this type of music falls directly into what interests me the most. And I love a good pop song. And that's what Fountains of Wayne is about. They're about pop music. Mm. And overall, I feel like they had some really solid moments of pop perfection. Solid. I said that doesn't really make sense. Some moments of pop perfection, but
I think
also,
we know what you mean.
Yeah. Orville Redenbacher had some moments of pop perfection too.
Geez. Turn that mic off. The problem is a lot of the songs overall don't really stand out. They kind of blend in to one another. You know, pop music, there's always a hook. There's always something that's going to make you want to go back and listen to that song over and over again. And there may be a couple occurrences on this album, but not as much as they needed to. And I think that it probably is a step down from their last album. I mean, that was critically acclaimed. They were going, coming out, doing something maybe a little bit different than what was going on in the rest of maybe alternative. I just spit all over the place. In alternative music and alternative pop music. But this one, it seems like a rehashing to me, and not as good as it should have been. Jared.
You seem so well prepared, Shane, and I'm just going to kind of go off the cuff here. To me, this was just an average album, maybe a little bit above average. I didn't hate anything on it, but I didn't really find a lot of remarkable songs either. I liked the first song, Someone to Love, and I always seem to come back to, I think it's This Better Be Good or something like that later in the album.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, I don't know, it just didn't wow me. There's a lot of songs that kind of sounded like other bands, like mm-hmm. like the intro to 92 Subaru sounds like Cheap Trick, and then the title song, Traffic and Weather, sounds like a Lenny Kravitz song. And there was a couple times I tried to get through this album like three or four times and I didn't quite get to the end. And I always thought, you know what? I got to sit down. I got to get to the end. Maybe there's something really, really good at the end. And it turned out there wasn't anything super remarkable there.
More of the same.
So it was, for me, just an above average album. Didn't hate it. Didn't love it.
My biggest thing, there's no real Stacey's Mom. Yeah. That's the song that I think got me into Fountains of Wayne originally. And that's like what you're saying, like mm-hmm. very perfect rocky pop song. And there's none of that.
And their albums before Welcome Interstate Managers had some good moments too. Mm-hmm. And this.
Right. And, right. Yeah. I mean, I heard Stacey's Mom, then got into the older stuff, after hearing that. But, also there's the song Planet of Weed, which might be the worst song that I've heard in a really long time. It's just, I mean, it's awful, and
I didn't like 92 Subaru myself.
I didn't either. I didn't like that.
I'll take your word for it, because I don't really remember most of the songs. I'm just being honest. They don't stick with me.
Let me pose one question, then we'll give this thing a score. Did Fountains of Wayne crumble under the pressure of creating another album that had a standout song like Stacey's Mom?
I don't think that they've ever been big enough to have all that pressure put on them. So, I mean, they've always been kind of a niche following band, and I think people that like them a ton still like them.
Mm-hmm. Well, you heard it from Adam. Yep. Definitive word on the state of Fountains of Wayne. Now let's give it a definitive score. In the Scope World.
Scope score is 2.5 stars.
Perfect
timing,
as always.
That's your contribution, Tony. A pre-recorded Scope score. Do you have any?
Tony's actually not here today.
No,
it's all been pre-recorded.
I wanted to just say that idiomatically.
Wow, here we go.
There was an interweaving of.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to play that clip. I'm sorry.
Right.
Go, Tony Bot. Go,
Tony Bot 4000. Please regale us with another big word that means nothing to us
or me.
Hey, I think we have one more review today, and that's picking up from last episode's random review. We didn't do it, but the boys of the B team selected something. But let's play some introduction to the random review first.
Get ready for the random review of the week. It could be appalling. It could be incredible. But it's always unpredictable. The random review of the week.
They selected the show Shark. Adam, go.
This week's random review is for the CBS Television Network's freshman dramatic hit, Shark. To best describe the show, let's go right to the marketing type text found on the Shark website. Shark is a drama that follows the professional and personal life of Sebastian Stark. Not Shark. Stark, just so you don't
That's
get
a very confusing thing for me.
Played by James Woods, a charismatic, supremely self-confident defense attorney who, after a shocking outcome in one of his cases and a personal epiphany, brings his cutthroat tactics to the prosecutor's office. By the way, this may sound familiar to you, and yes, that's because that's the same character James Woods plays in every movie and TV show.
Shocking.
There's a bunch of other text here about who's in it, but let's not go over all that.
thank you for the brevity.
Yeah.
This week's show puts Shark right now, one of Sebastian's prosecutors, the cold-blooded killer they're prosecuting, and an entire courtroom of people in mortal danger as they're taken hostage by a gun-wielding defendant played by Sex and the City's Evan Handler, who played, what's his name, Charlotte's husband.
Exactly. The ugly but lovable.
Yeah.
All these cable shows I've never seen.
From another case. These people are. In this first clip, let's listen as a hostage taker, Stanley, jumps into action.
So what's the plan, Stan? Does it look like I have a plan?
No, but you got the guns. The next best thing.
It's Harry, by the way.
Stanley, that's you said you wanted justice. Care to tell us what happened?
Well, Jesse, Detective Ramsey over there. Surprised he even took the time to come to court.
Go screw yourself.
Not the most constructive tone.
This guy robbed a family market near Highland Park. Pistol whipped the owner.
That is a lie! I went in to buy beer. Two guys came in through the back door.
I witnessed ID'd you.
There was a lady in the back who saw the whole thing.
There was no
lady.
Stan.
We both know that. No, you were too lazy to go out and find her. You had an ex-con on the hook. You know, why waste your time? I mean, you know, clear the case. Go grab another donut.
You got simple assault, armed robbery. Hey, a decent lawyer, you get 5 years, you're out in three. I mean, you know, Judge Morton's a bleeding heart. With all due respect, Your Honor.
First of all, even if I could afford to hire a decent lawyer, which I can't, I got busted for two home robberies 7 years ago. I stole a couple of laptops, okay? I never even carried a gun.
You're looking at a third strike.
Yeah, 25 years to life for a crime I didn't even do. I'm telling you, I don't do stuff like that anymore.
Very desperate.
Yes.
I feel terrible.
You can hear the tone of his voice getting
sense
more
of urgency
desperate.
There.
As the situation grows tense, it's up to Shark to try to defuse it. Our next clip is of Sebastian communicating a very important moral lesson to the hostage taker. If you listen carefully, you can actually hear James Woods chewing up the scenery.
You believe in God, Stanley? He's never been a big fan of mine.
Yeah, I'm not much of a believer myself. But it's funny how a little thing like imminent death can make you think. Stanley.
Notice music.
I was a bad guy for a long time. Literally helped people get away with murder. But instead of going to prison, I went to Bel Air. And I could never figure out, if he exists, how God could let something like that happen. But see, eventually, nobody gets away with it, Stanley. Eventually, we all have to answer for who we are and what we do. After all the bad breaks, the bad moves, you make the choice of the kind of man you want to be. See, I knew I had to change my life. Now, I don't know if it'll get me into heaven.
I was going to make the move to TV because
I know
it's more lucrative.
I don't hurt people anymore. Hell, once in a while, I even do a little bit of good.
Yeah, jokey.
So I figure if there is a God, I may not be on his Christmas card list, but at least he knows I'm trying.
And that's one to grow on.
William Shatner.
Yeah.
I like
that. The question remains, will James Woods and the other regulars, including the supposedly hot Jerry Ryan,
don't get me started on that.
Shark escape this terrible predicament? Well, the answer is yes. But how they do it, that's where the magic comes in, according to Shane.
It is.
Shark can be found on CBS every Thursday at 10 p.m., 9
the
Central.
Tiffany Network, how I had written.
Yes, you'll notice I scratched that out.
That's the Tiffany Network.
Does anyone even care about that anymore?
No, I'd like to say it.
You're old school, that's why.
Yep. Adam, what did you think?
I thought it was, you know, it was all right. I love James Woods, and my favorite James Woods quotes of all time are pretty hilarious about why he only dates young women, and it's because he's like, if you ever go to the pound, do you get an old hag about to die or a young pup? Because he's a compassionate guy.
Clearly. That is really something to keep in the back of your mind and follow that.
He can afford to be known.
Also, he basically plays the same character in this that he did in the HBO original movie Indictment, the McMartin trial, and that was
seen by Adam only.
Well, just two I know of because we talked about that a lot. It's basically about the child molestation escapades, not escapades. What's that overreaction called? Well, whatever. It was about, you know, like...
Overreaction?
Like, yeah. Well, whatever. It was about this. It was a true crime that happened. Not true crime. True supposed crime that happened in the late 80s. He basically plays
the supposedly
80s. Which I love. I love that character, so...
And yeah, they bust my chops about being wordy.
Anyway, it was all right. Nothing great. You know, it's something we've seen before. So.
Jared?
I didn't care for it. We started to kind of zone out towards the midpoint and didn't really ever come back to it.
That sounds Jerry like Tony
Ryan,
right now.
Jerry Ryan has hit the wall, definitely. She used to be attractive. She never used to be able to
she
act.
She always looked like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Her head and face
maybe a little
looks
bit.
Like.
Yeah, I can see it. But she's definitely hit the wall. You know, it felt like every other standard procedural courtroom police forensic show out there, whatever. I just was bored with it. The acting was wooden.
Mm-hmm. He's had that one planned for weeks. You know, here's the deal with the show. It's formulaic. It's a vanity project for James Woods. I don't know why he went to television. Maybe it's an easier schedule. Maybe he's not getting the role he wants. Yeah, but it's kind of strange to see him on there. And the question that I thought to myself is something like this a step down? I mean, will I always look at James Wood as the guy now that doesn't get the movies he wants and he has to go on television?
What did you look at him as before?
I always kind of liked James Wood. I thought
but
he was a good actor.
Name movies that he's amazingly known for.
I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
That one you
he was
quoted
a, he was in
HBO
that John
on.
Grisham movie that one time. That, I don't remember what that was, where he played the racist.
Half of Hollywood was in a John
That's
Grisham
very
movie
true.
At one point.
But, you know, and the one thing that boggled my mind the most about this show was just looking at James Woods. It's like, speaking of hitting the wall, he's turned into a super wrinkly L.A. dude, and he's got hypnotizing hair.
Am I just remembering it wrong? Was he wearing suspenders?
That's for you to work
just,
out.
In the show, I'm just asking. For some reason, I just remember that, but I
he
could be completely
wrong.
He does
do a very fine Larry King impression, yeah. So it might have been.
I will say this is a good summary line to close up the segment. There's a lot of dramas on television, and this one is not even close to the top of the top of the top. So.
You could have just said there's a lot of dramas on television and left it at that.
Yeah, I should have. So give it
and
a score, one Jared. Ho.
Yeah, what the hell did we score? Here we go.
The Scope score is... 2 stars.
Average.
Very,
that is average
very
on the Scope
average.
Score scale.
Jared, will we be selecting a show for a random review for next episode?
Yes, we will. And here we go. As you can hear, the wheel is spinning. Where will it land? Nobody knows. But I will be the first.
The computer knows.
Interesting. Desperate Housewives, ABC, Sunday, 8 p.m. Central.
You know the interesting thing about this? Carrie and I have decided to stop watching Desperate Housewives, and now it's pulling me right back in.
Hmm. I've never seen it, and now I get to see what the whole hype is
about. It's
not
really that interesting, actually.
Wow.
Do I have to watch it?
If you like.
No.
If you like. You can watch it and report back into us. Call in on the hotline number, and then, because nobody else is going to be calling on
206-350-7056.
Drunk dial, add it to your cell phone, and drunk dial.
Yes. Yeah. Just have some fun with it.
So it'll be like Tony talking to Tony about things that interest Tony.
Precisely.
That's what I would like. I think that's the end of Under the Scope, is it not?
It is.
Or at least the end of the review is. We've got the third segment of Under the Scope.
It's the one everyone waits for.
It is. Adam, coming soon.
Everyone likes to hear me talk fast.
Mm-hmm.
So music, April 17th, Avril Lavigne has a new album coming out. I guess that's why she's on Saturday Night Live
Indeed.
Tonight. Or Ooh. Yesterday, or the day before, whenever you listen to this. Nine Inch Nails has a new album coming out, Year Zero, it's called. And you can listen to the whole thing on the Nine Inch Nails website. It's all right.
You'll also be able to download tracks in GarageBand format and remix them.
Oh, that's neat. Apparently, it's part of an ARG, which I recently found out stood for Alternate Reality Game. It's like those, like if you go to a website and like all the, you know, like the Lost play along things.
Mm-hmm. Sure, the Lost experience.
Like, yeah, it's like that where like, you know, the stuff you're seeing on the website is real. You know, like someone emailed someone, so you get to read their email. And I guess he's either inspired by this or it's a part of an ARG. I don't really know. I didn't read into it that much.
But gotcha.
It's kind of neat.
Instead of an SRG, Scope Reality Game.
Yes. And speaking
a lot of lines
beats,
to record for that, Tony.
Hillary Duff has a new album too.
Oh,
does she?
Yeah.
She's got a new look. She's a little edgier.
Has she found some new talent?
No, same old talents.
Well, I mean, it depends on what we're defining talent and what her new look is.
Exactly.
If you know she's not wearing clothes, and then the talent
Boy,
is
Adam,
different.
Very randy today. He's very randy.
I'm not the one that said all down on all fours. Yeah.
We've never crossed that line, Tony.
True.
Ever.
Tony bringing us to a new low.
April 24th.
There'll be repercussions for this.
Arctic Monkeys have a new album, and
you
everyone loves them, so I guess that'll be
Arctic
okay.
Monkeys. Where do I know them from?
They're British and...
A breakout band of last year.
They were on like Best Week Ever and stuff for like 3 straight weeks. Cowboy Junkies, they're still around. And Fishbone.
Fishbone's still around? Wow.
Yeah, them too. Film, April 20th, The Nanny Diaries.
Okay.
Which is actually, I did not know this, the writer-director team behind American Splendor reunite for an adaptation of the best-selling novel by Emma McLaughlin and Nicola Kraus. That's weird to go from American Splendor to The Nanny Diaries.
Absolutely. Crazy.
But Scarlett Johansson's in it, so there you go.
So it'll be great.
Are there any wire hangers?
Is that an abortion reference?
Whoa!
No, the nannies!
Left turn. I mean, I got it, but Adam didn't.
Hot Fuzz.
Off the rails, people.
The Shaun of the Dead kids return with another satire.
Overrated Shaun of the Dead. The Scope stands by it.
You felt it was overrated, remember?
No. It's overrated. The Scope agrees.
All right. Anyway, it looks kind of funny to me, especially considering there's no gun. Police don't use guns in London, and the entire thing, the entire trailer makes it look like all they're doing is shooting stuff.
Yeah.
So.
That sounds great.
Yeah. And Vacancy, which is actually a real movie. When I saw the trailer starring Kate Beckinsale and Luke Wilson going to a motel that, you know, it's like people are getting killed in and stuff, I assumed it was fake. That's apparently real. So that comes out too.
Very exciting.
April 27th, The Invisible, which I don't know, so I'm going to skip it. Next,
fair
which,
enough.
It's another Nicolas Cage Relentless Pursuit FBI movie. So it's
Relentless Pursuit.
Con Air on the ground.
Sounds like Nicolas Cage going for a reboot of his career.
Yep. And Windchill. Two college students, blah, blah, blah. Ghosts.
I think that's
people.
Windshield.
Windchill, it says.
I know.
Oh.
Big stupid.
And finally, DVD. Indeed. April 17th, Freedom Riders. Freedom Riders, also known as, what was that movie that the Coolio song, Gangster's Paradise?
Dangerous
came.
Minds.
Dangerous Minds, yes.
Yep. For the next generation, demanding
or the Samuel L. Jackson version, 187.
Yes. Or the, what's his name from Major League version?
Oh, yeah.
The Substitute.
Yeah, exactly. Are we saying this has been done?
Yeah.
You have an amazing memory, Adam. Yes.
I have a good memory, but I can't remember the details. Yeah. It's pretty awful. What's Tom Just Berenger?
Did you ever read Details
wrap
Magazine?
Wrap your mind around that one.
Tom Berenger. He was in The Substitute. And The Substitute Amplitude. 2. George Lopez, season 1 and 2.
Smoking. There we go. Everybody get it.
I'm Bambi. This is George Lopez.
Smoking Aces. What was Smoking Aces? Oh.
That was the really hip one that was
It
all...
was awful. Did I tell you guys
about
this?
Yeah, you did.
Like, the made it look so cool. Trailer was the best part. Venture Brothers season 2. People love that the Venture Brothers. I don't really get it. Notes on a Scandal, which I saw and was really good. Happy Days season 2. And finally, April 24th, 9th Museum, winter's biggest box office hit, which is surprising.
Wasn't that bad.
Huh?
It wasn't that bad.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm going to see it. I didn't realize
great,
this. The two of the guys from Reno 911 wrote it.
Oh.
And The State and all that, which is kind of weird. The Queen, which I saw and didn't like that much, Flipper season 1. And WKRP in Cincinnati, which hits home for me because my dad looks just like, what's his name? Johnny Pants.
Tim Reed.
Johnny Pants. I don't remember. What's his name? The main guy? Not main guy, but
played by Howard Hessman.
Yeah. Whatever his name is.
I don't remember.
Never watched the show. Apparently, there was some fascination with Lonnie Anderson that I didn't get because I was about four.
I worked with Lonnie Anderson.
Oh, really?
Did you?
I did. Yep.
At the Knockout?
At the old Log Theater.
Did you work with her on four?
That's
all
what
four?
She said. is that the euphemism of the day, Tony?
I'm on all fours. Yeah.
The old.
Where do we go from here?
I don't know. We probably go to the FCC and beg for forgiveness.
We're done with coming soon.
And Adam closing it out with all the energy and action that he always does. You heard it. It's done.
I only do what's expected of me. That's all. Nothing
more. Well, let's shoot for the stars the next time around. Jared, talk about something.
We got some comments.
We do? I can't believe it.
A few. Okay, one was an email comment that was came in about a month and a half ago, but I'm going to go back to it here.
That's how desperate we are.
This is a comment on the NC-17 rating from Matt Peters. He said he's just finished listening to the NC-17 argument between Earl. There's another mention of Earl. And the rest of the guys, and I wanted to voice my own opinion. The point that NC-17 rated movies have more bad content is an opinion, and opinions are interpreted through the free market, not the Supreme Court. No one perspective can draw the borders around good and bad, though the current administration certainly has tried. Political. If it sells, then the content was good, and more movies of its like will be made. As Voltaire once said, getting philosophical here.
Gee, this is way over our heads.
Though I'm no freak who gets my kicks from gore, porn, and homoerotica, I'll defend to my death your right to view/make it.
Let me interject one thing. If the content sells, it does not mean it's good. It means it's liked. So, Matt, you were close, but
also,
no
I don't
cigar.
Take opinions from people that sign up for kickball and then never show.
Well,
so,
here's
fuck you. Matt.
Here's the deal with Matt. Well,
wow.
By the way, Matt no longer works with me.
Oh, with you or with the company?
With the company.
Oh, really?
He's out, yeah. But, Matt, please.
Maybe that's why you didn't show up for kickball.
Keep writing in, Matt, because we love your smarty pants attitude.
Yeah. And Voltaire comments.
Yep.
Excellent.
I'm surprised we could pronounce that.
Comments on our
it's
last
like Voltron.
Episode.
It's Voltron.
Voltron.
Does Voltaire
as Voltron
turn into
says,
robots?
I'm no freak. Anyway.
I know Voltaire personally, and I don't know that he ever said that.
From the old wooden lodge?
Comments on episode 26, featuring our alternative reality hosts.
Wingard, the bizarro scope.
Wingard writes in, he says, best show ever. These guys should stay on forever, triple exclamation point, which means he means it.
That's a universal translation.
Yes. Pollard Chunts writes in to say, these gents are downright Jim Dandy. Kudos and some such for expoviating beyond the standard format. I tip my hat in expressive show tune style.
Exfoliating?
Expoviating.
I don't even know if that's a real word. I looked it up on the internet.
Well, here it is. G-Love says, way to rate it in, guys. I did miss Jared a little bit, because people do miss me when I'm
gone. Adam and Shane, go to hell.
But Al did a fine job of trying to replace Shane. And Sparkles? Well, Sparkles is Sparkles. And I can't say much more about that. Good show, guys. Interesting change-up. I'm more of a knuckleballer myself.
I'm just dismayed that no one was tricked by our April Fool's joke.
Actually, I can say that somebody was. A friend of mine was tricked. He called me and asked me, what happened, you guys? I said, what day was the show posted, my friend?
There you go.
Nikki said, I don't know.
Nikki writes in and says, a nice breath of fresh air. New host. It was a great show and rather entertaining to listen to.
Nikki, you chap our hides with such a terrible comment.
If you'd like to chap our hides, you can email your comments to us at comments@thescopeshow.com.
To the people who are stale. Stale breath of fresh air. Whatever. Sorry, Jared, to be interrupt you. I'm just bothered by that.
Visit the all-new, all-different Scope 2.0 website at thescopeshow.com. And if you want to get on the show and have your opinion heard, not just read by me, call the voicemail hotline at 206-350-7056. You'll be greeted by Tony. You'll give us a witty comment, and we'll put it on the air. Shane, back to you.
I want to remind everyone out there that we have something called the Scope Poll. That's where you can tell us if you liked the B-Team, or you like the original team hosting the show, right?
Exactly. And you must email or call in to vote.
Absolutely.
We will not accept comments on the board. We want this vote to be private. We'll tally the votes in private, and then we will unleash it upon the unsuspecting world.
One thing I'd like to hear in comments for this particular show is I want to find out if people were fooled, or if they cared, if they liked the joke of our April Fool's prank. So send those to the Scope Show. Comment at thescopeshow.com.
So comment at thescopeshow.com. 206-350-7056.
Look at exactly. Tony already plugging away all the time. I just want to say thanks to everyone showing up. I want to say thanks to all the listeners that have supported us over the past year. And want them to, you know, just step it up and get ready because year two is going to be fantastic. It's going to be great. It's going to be exciting. A lot of things.
And we do this show for you, so the more you can contribute, the better it will be.
Absolutely.
Also, it would help if you could maybe set aside half a day to listen to it. That helps us out, if you can concentrate only on listening to
Absolutely.
Us.
And also cookies. We like cookies. Right. So send us cookies.
And do you like gladiator movies?
Hey, speaking of that, American Gladiators is now on ESPN Classic.
Oh, great. Well, we'll be tuning in for that.
Yes.
Oh, one other note about the website. We will be posting unique content you will only find on thescopeshow.com. So go there often.
Will there be dirty limericks?
Make it your home page.
Tony's going to talk about all of his sensual experiences with Lonnie Anderson this week.
Wow! So.
You have to be a premium content subscriber to get that.
Child actor, then. Child actor.
Wow.
That's even more devious and salacious.
So for Tony, for Adam, and for Jared, this is Shane saying, Scope, year two coming at you. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Are you ready, Tony?
I'm ready.
Here we go!
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. The days shall pass as if they were but a moment, and Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@scopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing 206-350-7056. Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying goodbye. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.
A little long, but good. Good night.
Talk as fast as I could.